following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Bang Radio.
Oh, it's wonderful!
I'm excited to knock somebody the hell out.
We're not gladiators. This isn't the Roman Colosseum.
Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Oh, Belvedere, come here, boy.
Next time, we're just watching the Super Bowl. That's all we're going to watch, the Super Bowl.
Who's going to the Super Bowl?
I told you. I told your chump ass.
You better believe that.
Wait a minute.
He's running the
You're
wrong way.
You're going the wrong way. Holy moly.
And now, here's John and Tom.
Here's the snap. Placement made. Kick to the uprights. And it is good.
It is good.
The Packers have tied the game at 22.
Russell takes the snap. Drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over, baby.
Touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl in Glendale. What a catch in the end zone. It is cursed. 35 yards. A long day for Jermaine, and he makes the game-winning reception in the end zone. They are going nuts at CenturyLink.
In this AFC Championship game, the New England Patriots thoroughly dominated the Indianapolis Colts. The quarterback who has started and won more postseason games than any other is bound for a sixth start in the Super Bowl. The head coach, who has won more playoff games than any other, will lead the Patriots there in 2 weeks to confront the Seattle Seahawks. New England will seek the NFL Summit in the Valley of the Sun. They're going to Glendale for Super Bowl 49.
It's for you guys, our fans. Thanks for all your support. I know we've had some ups and downs this year, but right now we're up, baby. And we're going to try to stay up for one more game.
Oh, shut up, you effing cheater.
I'm tired of hearing about these bastards and their cheating all the time, Tom. I'm telling you what, if I was a New England fan, I'd be bitching up a storm. But since I'm not, fuck all you guys. If there's smoke, there's fire. But in New England, of course, there's all kinds of smoke, but there's never any fire.
He's back!
There's more Zillas in Boston Harbor than Tokyo ever saw. They're breeding out there.
All right, what's up? I'm Tom, he's John. It's Bang Radio Hour number 254.
Hot damn, man. We got four shows in this year.
Is that it?
Fucking A, baby. Woo! And every one of them, seriously, is like an orgasm dipped in gold.
Yeah. And how much did we make for those four shows? What were you telling me?
Well, so far, we've made $25.
Okay.
That's the donations for the year so far. This is what happens when you don't work. So this has actually been an experiment by Tom and I to show all of you people that believe that people that don't work get paid anyway. We don't. So thanks to Jimmy Greer, everybody's favorite kick around boy over there on the Facebook page, who likes to troll the shit out of everybody. He donated $25. Last week it got so bad, people were threatening to quit the page. I hope Gnarly Dudester didn't quit the page. Anyway, he donated $25 with a challenge to all you pansy asses out there to go ahead and match it, which I heartily endorse. I think that's a great idea.
Okay, so we each made $12.50.
Before taxes, Tom. Now, here's where the tricky part comes in. Because after taxes, we've each made 34 cents. Because the rest of the money goes to all those other bastards out there that aren't working.
Well, here's the thing. Now, John, my grandmother used to tell me stories from back in the day about the money she used to make. And her dad was a big-time fly fisherman. In fact, he used to catch dinner a lot, fly fishing, you know. And so her and her sister used to catch grasshoppers for him for bait, and he would pay them a penny apiece for those grasshoppers. And if she could catch 15 grasshoppers, that was 15 cents. That means she could go down and see a movie, which, you know, a movie back then, you know, it's whatever you want to call it, if you want to call that a movie, and get an ice cream.
For 15 cents.
For 15 cents.
Why, back in my day, I'll tell you what, Tom, I'd have to get down and dirty my knees at least four times in an afternoon to make 15 cents. But if I made 15 cents, then I could get into the movie theater, and then I would be able to blow everybody in there and make about 30 cents in the dark. I was officially the theater's ball-weighing girl, and make sure everybody was properly inflated.
Right. There you go.
Fly fishing.
But here's the thing about that. I think that
I'm telling Depression era stories.
Right. It was the Depression era. Absolutely.
Back in my day, all we could do was fish for flies. And if flies were what for dinner, then that's what we ate. Have a wing, Rusty. Caught this one fresh out of the toilet.
Well, anyway, it was the Depression, but my point is, I think that she made a better hourly rate than we did on this season's podcast.
Absolutely. I mean, really. I've been reduced to catching freaking grasshoppers for all the fly fishermen down by the river.
All right, coming up, Deflatezilla, obviously. Also, Beast Crotch. Can't have Beast Crotch.
Hey, dude, he's either going to wear gold shoes or he's going to grab his dick.
Right. God's a drama queen, and we're going to go on a field trip this Ooh. Week. Yes.
Cool. I hope everybody packed the lunch.
But first, I want to mention that OBJ got laid. He okay. did. Everybody knows about it. Odell Beckham Jr., wide receiver for the Giants.
That's right.
OBJ. He got laid. I think we've talked about Tinder before. You know, the hookup app where, you know, you see somebody's picture, you swipe right, they see your picture, they swipe right, then they match you up and you go have sex.
Well, Tim, I'm going to take your word for how it works since my wife listens to the show.
Something like that. Yeah. I know it was...
Yeah, so I think it's an awesome, 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 awesome app.
It was the most popular app in the Olympic Village. That's why we talked about it, remember?
Dude, to be 20 years old. My
God. No, it's ridiculous. Anyway, but the thing is, I don't know. I don't think I would have done this. This is probably not a good idea, but this girl bragging about hooking up with OBJ, you know, because I'm thinking that might intimidate some guys. You know, like, I don't think I want to get with her. She's 19 years old, real pretty blonde chick. Her name is Stephanie, and right. she posted a picture of herself kissing Odell Beckham Jr., and then there was a caption under it that said, "I fucked Odell Beckham Jr. Get on my level, cunts."
Well, if that's not a challenge to all you sluts out there, step on up to the plate.
Oh, yeah? Well, I spent 6 days locked in a closet in A-Rod's apartment. Alex Rodriguez is a freak above all.
Oh, man.
He let Bob Costas come in and touch me.
By the way, speaking of A-Rod, did you see he's been getting advice from Barry Bonds? Really, dude? What the hell is that?
Here, let me show you how to put a television set in your locker and not let any of your teammates watch it.
Which Barry Bonds did, by the way.
Right. Anyway, I just thought it's funny, man. You can go, you can see this picture. It's hilarious because this chick's got her face buried up and kissing him on the neck. And he's got the biggest smile, looking right at the camera with the biggest smile on his face you've ever seen.
You know what she's going to get now? She's going to get 40-something overweight freaking Giants fans. Hey, I fucked the girl that fucked Odell Beckham Jr. Hey! Selfie! Hey!
That's great.
That's what she's going to get. She's going to get fanboys.
I'm sure she could get with Marshawn Lynch. He shows everybody his crotch. You know, he was fined $20,000 for grabbing his crotch after scoring a touchdown in the NFC Championship game. And he was also fined $11,000 for pretty much doing the same thing in a game last month. And you know what? It's funny. He didn't complain about it. He really didn't care. But what he was upset about is he said that teammate wide receiver Chris Matthews was fined $11,000 as well. And Lynch tweeted, right. He said, "I feel embarrassed to work for a particular organization that fined a teammate of mine for shaking my hand after a touchdown." Well, I don't think Marshawn saw Matthews shake his junk either.
Look, I'll tell you what. First off, you got to question that dude's sanitary practices shaking a man's hand directly after he's been shaking his junk around.
Right. Right. That's what I thought.
Oh, my God. Look, did you have a problem with watching him do that?
I didn't give a crap.
I didn't give a shit either. But once again, it's the old, oh, my God, did you see what he did?
Yes.
Let me fire off a letter. Look, I think, again, we get back to how it is that people talk and how people act. Because I know for a fact, look, when I file my extension reports or my expense reports, they go in the folder. As soon as I slam that freaking drawer, I'm grabbing my crotch and jumping around the girl's office. And so should everybody else. I finish my transaction at Walmart, grab my crotch, dive into the parking lot.
Right.
Hey, why not?
Well, you know, it's funny. They also, the NFL was not going to let Marshawn Lynch play. Did you hear about he's going to wear those gold cleats?
This is the stupidest goddamn
thing. I mean, really, man. He's going to wear these gold cleats, and they said, we will not let you play if you wear those gold cleats. Those are not standard issue uniform.
Right. You must wear the extremely gay-looking emerald slippers. I mean, Jesus Christ, those Seahawks shoes. I mean, I get it, it's their colors. But if they're going to say, you can't wear gold because it's, you know what, for what? Because it'll be garish and ridiculous looking? Dude, those are things that you put on a four-year-old girl's feet so that she can dance in the little ballet reception. They are. I know, it's like, what the hell? He can't wear gold shoes? They're half gold anyway. The cleats and all the bottom of them are gold.
Oh, man. Richard Sherman came out. Richard Sherman's like, are you serious? The NFL will punish him for wearing gold cleats, but the Patriots are getting away with this cheating shit over here?
Hey, man. Richard Sherman and Tom Brady have history. I'm really looking forward to this game. I really am looking forward to this game.
Do you think that the Seahawks will be yelling shit at them about their balls?
Oh, dude, they'll probably yell everything and anything that they can about him. And you know what the best thing about it is? Is like Muhammad Ali, they'll back that shit up.
Yeah.
They will back it up.
I almost got my Packers Super Bowl pick in there. I thought it was going to happen.
Dude, could you imagine the plane ride back to Green Bay?
Mm.
You know how I used to always do those funny impressions of people that had just died?
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Silent for 30 seconds.
That's it. The only thing you can hear is dude crying, the guy that the ball bounced off his face on the onside kick.
Right, right.
That's all you can hear is him crying.
And over and over and over again. Troy, we're going to roll it back here so we can watch the ball bounce right off of Bostic's face again.
Bostic, that's his name, yeah.
And you can see right here, Joe, after you get your hand off of my thigh, here it is once again bouncing right off the face mask of Brandon Bostic.
Man, that was it right there, dude. To me, that was, I mean, really, was there, I mean, I know a lot of plays are impactful, but damn.
You know, like I said last week or last show, one play doesn't make or break a game because there's that. They let a punter throw a touchdown pass, and they let that freaking two-point conversion go by.
I know. Oh, my God. How that? That was ridiculous.
That thing floated for 30 yards across the field.
Boy, you talk about everything having to go and going just right at the last 5 minutes of that game for Seattle.
I got to tell you, one of my favorite parts of this week has been, all right, everybody now probably knows that I actually get up and go into an office these days, right? But I get up and I go earlier than everybody. I get there like 6:30 in the morning because I get 2 hours with nobody in there. I can do some shit. I'm up at 5 anyway. So I've been listening to Mike and Mike, right? Which is enjoyable enough. They're okay. Till they start talking about the NBA, and then I shut it off so I don't fall asleep.
You could stream our show. We have an app.
Yeah, I know. I could. I should actually do that.
Yeah, you should.
I should actually do that. But anyway, it's like Monday. I can't believe the Packers messed up so bad. I can't believe it for 2 hours. Tuesday, we're back again to talk about how badly the Packers messed up. I just can't believe
right. How
badly they screwed this up. Wednesday, I swear to God, in the car on the way to work, I still just can't get over how badly the Packers have screwed this up. I'm just laughing like hell about that, man. I can't help it because everybody all week long, that's all they could say. You fucked it up. You fucked it up, and I can't believe you fucked it up.
Well, now, after they fucked it up, you know, after the game, man, I mean, dude, if you didn't know who Doug Baldwin and Javon Kearse were before that game, you knew after the game, because they're the only two you heard, and you heard them nonstop. First off, Right as the game ended, I don't know if you caught the Seahawks flagship station, KIRO, they were doing interviews right there on the field. And this girl goes over to Seahawks wide receiver Doug Baldwin, and she asked him what quarterback Russell Wilson's message was to him, you know, on that overtime drive. And then right after that, and I'm going to play him because it happens right in a row, then she goes over to Jermaine Kearse, who caught that winning touchdown, and he's all caught up in the moment as well.
Doug, right. I can hardly catch my breath. I don't know how you caught that.
She comes over and goes, Doug, I can hardly catch my breath. This dude just played a fucking NFC championship game, and this sideline reporter bitch is going, Doug, I can just barely catch my breath.
I've just run from the sidelines over here. You're about 30 feet away. Would you mind slowing down?
Doug, I can hardly catch my breath. I don't know how you caught that bitch.
Jermaine
Kearse has joined Doug. You can tell, pardon the language, it is extremely emotional down here. As you can see, the emotion and even the tears coming off of Jermaine Kearse's face. Kearse, what were you looking for on that route?
Hey, I know I didn't make all my plays, but when they count, I make them.
I meant to say Jermaine Kearse, not Jervon Kearse. He doesn't play that position.
And he didn't play the other one for very long. Right.
Anyway, I love that because he's over there. What was Russell's message? He didn't have a fucking message.
what fuck is he talking about? Message. He said, this is the play. Go catch the fucking ball.
And then she immediately runs away from him because he cussed. Like, oh, okay, let me run away. Then it didn't happen.
Oh, my God. There's a black man over here cursing somebody. Hurry up and find me the police. My God, we're gonna have a situation here. Doug, slow down, as you see, I broke a nail.
And then the two of them are together in front of a camera, and they're just going off on another rant.
Earlier in the game, you know, I let some opportunities get away from me.
You let ride, baby.
But that's how you push through adversity.
That's how you push through it, baby.
That's how you break through those brick walls.
It's what you go through.
You gotta break through those brick walls, John.
There was a brick wall in front of the end zone. I had to break through. Russell was throwing in front of a brick wall all day. All his passes was getting intercepted.
And that wasn't enough. Doug Baldwin had more.
Everybody counted us out. Y'all didn't believe in us. A whole bunch of people thought we weren't going to make it, right? We were 6-4. Oh, that's okay. They got a winning record, but they're not going to go to the playoffs. Remember that? 16-0 at the first half. How many of y'all counted us out? How many of y'all doubted us? It's indicative of our entire season. Y'all don't want to believe in us, it's okay. You ain't got to believe in us because we're going to believe in ourselves. We ain't worried about y'all. We worried about ourselves. When it was 16-0 at halftime, guess what we said? Don't trip. You don't win the game in the first half. You win the game in the second half. And what we do?
Yeah.
We come out and we do what we do. We play Seahawks football. We got an opportunity to do what we love, and we'll see y'all in the Super Bowl.
Dude sounds like a motivational speaker on cocaine. Who can get out there and make some sales? You can! I'm serious. I mean, they should be fired up.
Well, and then after that, Baldwin started talking about people on ESPN. I don't know who all these people are that were counting them out.
Well, you know, there was talk in the middle of the season when San Francisco still had a chance, and then there was, and of course, Arizona was really playing well, you know.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of talk about Arizona, but I didn't hear anybody say the Seahawks are done. They're not going to make it to the playoffs.
No, they were saying that about the Patriots.
I know, right. Oh, my God, after week two, Tom Brady's done. It's over. It's over. Just Tom Brady's out of it now.
That's it. Completely finished.
But then Doug Baldwin, he goes off, I guess some ESPN analysts that morning were bad-mouthing the receivers. He felt like they were, so he had this to say to them.
I think earlier this morning, I won't say any names. Again, I won't say any names. But they were also ESPN affiliates again.
Again.
Oh, come on, man. We ain't going to lose any sleep over these receivers. They all right. Yeah, we all right. We're going to show our all right in the Super Bowl again. So, I eat that.
I eat that. It was the ESPN analyst.
Yeah, he wasn't going to say any names, but they were from ESPN. And then he said, again.
I eat that.
All right, let's move on.
In theory, if everyone takes the same approach, if everyone follows the same course, uses the same tools, and plays by the same rules, then in theory, everyone should end up with the same results. Guess execution is a pretty important part of the game.
Jesus was with me every step. I felt him.
Hallelujah. Christian coaches showing that you can win, doing it the Lord's way.
Hallelujah. More importantly, I give my Lord and Jesus all the credit. I feel very blessed.
Hallelujah. We're giving it all to God again. Because that's what got us here.
Hallelujah. Well, I like the games. I could do without the interviews after the games, though, because the winning players always give credit to God while the losers blame themselves, you know? Just once, I'd like to hear players say, yeah, we were in the game, until Jesus made me fumble. He hates our team. I've even seen some boxers thank God for their triumphs. Oh, yeah, without Jesus, I couldn't have crushed my opponent's skull tonight and rendered him brain dead. I've been blessed by the Lord.
Yeah, John, you know, God's always playing a part in sports, according to the people who win. All the time.
Well, of course.
And you know what? And we talked about this before. They rarely, you know, they're always thanking God when they win, but right. You never hear them blame God when things don't go their way. You know what I mean?
Because that's not God, Tom. That is Satan. I mean, this is basic stuff.
It was Beelzebub.
That's right. It was, well, Beelzebub, I don't believe, is actually, he's the prince of lies, I think. I think this might have been one of the lesser demons from maybe the fourth circle.
It's a succubus, damn it, the succubus. It took all my energy.
Somebody called. Oh, my goodness. We're going to talk about all sorts of things today. Somebody say a bus needs sucking. What is it, some kind of trip to Vegas? Need somebody to ride along?
Well, anyway, Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, you know, he was pretty horrible for like the first 55 minutes. He threw four interceptions.
He was as bad as you could get. Their whole offense, it couldn't get going at all. I mean, Lynch had a couple of runs here and there. But earlier what that guy had said was that the Packers, look, you know when the Packers knew they lost the game? When it got to be 4th and 1 on the first time they had the ball at the 1 yard line with about 13 minutes to go in the game. Right then and there, they knew they lost it. They just didn't admit it for another 58 minutes.
Okay.
Period. They knew it because they pussied out. You can't get a foot. Go home.
All right. So anyway, the game ends and Russell Wilson, you know, they caught him right there. He's all emotional. I didn't know the guy was so religious, but, you know, right after the game, they caught him and this is what he said.
God is good all the time, man. Every time.
He's crying.
These guys on this team are unbelievable, man. The fight, the relentless fight over and over again. People used to doubt, man. I'm just excited to be on this team. I'm excited to play with the guys. I mean, 4 minutes up in the game, 3 minutes, four interceptions and just keep playing. Guys, just keep believing in me, man. You got to give credit to the Packers. They had an unbelievable season. Just honored, man. Just honored, just blessed to be on this team.
So he's all emotional, and then he says about the four interceptions and the dramatic comeback, he says, right. That's God setting it up to make it so dramatic, so rewarding, so special. I've been through a lot in life and had some ups and downs. It's what led me to this day.
Maybe God works for the network.
So God gave us that great comeback, John. It was all because of God.
It's obvious. I'm calling it. God works for Fox.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what it is. These people have paid for commercials.
Well, what I want to know, if God's such a drama queen, you know, where was he for that Patriots-Colts snoozer? But now you've answered that, and that's that he works for Fox.
Right. Well, he works for Fox, obviously. People have advertising dollars that they spend in the fourth quarter. We expected to stay tuned in. You're going to have people all up and down through the Northeast, which is a very highly populated and big market area, that could be possibly tuning out to watch pregame for the Patriots. So you want to keep them interested. Definitely. I'm saying it.
Oh! What?
Hear me, O mortals, and tremble at the thunder of my words.
It's God. It's God.
My God.
Yes.
My God.
It's God. What's up, God?
I have come unto thee to clear up these ridiculous notions that I have anything to do with Russell Wilson's four interceptions.
Oh.
Quite the opposite is indeed true. And as usual, you self-centered little worm foods make it all about yourself and figure it's up to my divine plan as to why he threw four interceptions. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Do you know what the divine plan is?
What's that?
It is to create a seal here and a seal here and to run this play in the alley. Just kidding, just kidding.
Oh, right. Listen. It's like, what?
Listen, listen. People said Vince Lombardi was me, and they were almost halfway. Of course I like football, right? I'm a guy, aren't I?
Right.
That's right, I am!
Okay, all right, all right.
But I can't be everywhere at once, you know? The truth is this, and you can quote me on this. I did not cause Russell Wilson to throw 4 interceptions.
Oh, well, okay. Did you have anything to do with the comeback?
No, I wasn't even watching. I was over in the Middle East trying to put out all the fires you idiots start over me. I swear to me, some of you people are fucking crazy. Anyway, listen, I didn't get back till the 4th quarter, and of course, I've got the Seahawks and I'm laying 5. Let me tell you something there, Tom. Papa needs a new pair of sandals. You know what I'm saying?
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So you did have something to do with the comeback.
Come on, a punter throws a touchdown pass, a miracle 2-point conversion, and did you see when I made that onside kick bounce off Brandon Bostic's forehead?
Oh, my,
I was dying, Tom.
Now we know about the truth.
It was so funny I made the network up showing it on super slow motion replay over and over. Oh, me, damn it, that was fun. Huh. Anyway, I cleaned up and took the family out to Dave and Buster's.
Oh,
great time.
Well, that was nice of you. Hey, let me ask you something. On the other game, you know, there's all this talk about them deflating the balls for Tom Brady. What do you think about all that?
Of course the balls are deflated, Tom.
Okay.
Between you and me, I know who did it. It was me.
You?
Absolutely, it was me. Heavens, yes. Kind of, man. I could create worlds in life. Changing the air pressure in the ball is a snap.
Why? What? What?
Because Bill Belichick is a dick and I like fucking with him. I have spoken.
Damn, Tom. You know what? One of these days, I'm going to have to start believing in that guy.
Man, he just popped in, cleared it all up, and left.
So I guess the investigation is over.
There it is. We know what happened.
That's right. No more distracting us from, in my opinion, looks like a great football game.
Yeah, well, we're still going to talk about it coming up next.
Fuck the New England Patriots. And fuck the Seahawks, too. Fuck the Rams and fuck the Bears. And put the Giants in a zoo. To hell with the Colts and to hell with the Jags. And watching the Ravens gives me the cags. Fuck the Bengals and fuck the Panthers. And the Titans are a joke. And fuck the Green Bay Packers with their massive, unbelievable joke. Fuck the Steelers and the Falcons. And the Lions are a disgrace. And fuck the Philadelphia Eagles and their empty trophy case. Fuck the Broncos up in Denver where marijuana is for sale. They should rename Manning's forehead the Great Red Spot of Fail. Fuck the Vikings in the north and the Texans in the south. Having to watch a Raiders game makes me throb in my mouth. Fuck the Jets and fuck the Bills. Rex Ryan can be absurd. And fuck the Arizona Cardinals, because who names a football team after a tiny little fucking bird? Fuck the Bucks and fuck the Saints. They both stink up the joint. And I'd say fuck the Browns, but what would be the point? Fuck the 49ers, and the Chiefs, and Dolphins, and the Chargers. And when I say fuck the Cowboys, my finger can't stretch any larger. And to those 31 teams, I say fuck you all with glee. Because I'm a fan of the Redskins. And usually that means fuck me.
VOTech.
For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
Real Man of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Overconfident Patriots fan.
Mr. Overconfident Patriots fan.
To you, this year's Super Bowl is just a silly formality, like checking the Weather Channel to see if it's still raining in Southern California.
No need to even play now.
This game is just a way to kill time between the opening coin toss and Tom Brady's over-rehearsed victory speech.
Wake me when it's over.
As far as you're concerned, if they hadn't already sold commercials, they'd skip the ridiculous passing and running and get right to the burning car victory riot.
Flames of celebration.
So go ahead, ice down some beer and get ready to watch the entire game. Because after all, if you only watch the ending, it's just a bunch of half-naked guys jumping around in a locker room. And God knows you've already downloaded enough of that.
Mr. Overconfident Patriots fan!
Hey, it's Beth Williams, Playboy's Miss August 2012. And you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour. Tom's pretty hot. John, not so much.
Well, the Patriots are causing some anxiety because of their alleged impropriety. And when they beat up Indy in the AFC title game, rumors of them cheating, and that's a bloody shame. Deflating balls, deflating balls, easily thrown balls, no fumbled balls. And he caught the balls, and they cheat with balls,
and they beat the Colts with deflated balls.
Our equipment guys do a great job of breaking the balls. To me, they're perfect. I don't want anyone touching the balls after that. I don't want anyone rubbing them. To me, those balls are perfect. I wouldn't want anyone touching those. I would zip those things up and lock them away. Whatever feels good that day. I'm not squeezing the balls. Some guys like them thin. Some guys like them tacky. Some guys like them brand new. Some guys like old balls. I mean, they're all different. Some guys like old balls. They also know that how I like the balls, and I tell them how great they are before the game.
What are tacky balls? I don't know what that means when he says some guys like the balls tacky.
You know how it is, like, you know, when you have sex on a humid day in the morning and you don't get a shower till later on that evening.
That tacky balls?
Tacky balls.
Tacky balls. Okay, that's better than what I pictured in my mind when he first said it. I don't like tacky balls.
Tacky balls. Nobody should like that.
Right?
He does sound like an expert in balls, though.
Boy, he does.
15 years in a locker room, right?
Yeah, he's now I'm sorry, but he's denying any involvement in this whole, and they're calling it Deflategate, but we will always call it Ballzilla.
Ballzilla.
Yes. But they, you know, 11 out of the 12 balls that they were given, because each team, if anybody doesn't know, each team gets 12 balls. They get their own balls to play with. And you can't help but, you know, the innuendo in all of this is ridiculous. But
I can just hear Johnny Weir in my head. Who, by the way, I'm sorry to break in right here, but you're going to get very excited. He is part of NBC's Super Bowl coverage.
What?
He is. They're gonna. He's got to be something in the 6 hours of the pregame.
Oh,
but
my
him
God.
And his little queen are gonna be out there talking about football.
Maybe he's gonna analyze each team's uniform.
He's gonna talk about their balls.
My God,
I'm in here where they're inspecting the balls.
Well, Brady insisted that while he did inspect the balls before the game, he didn't alter them in any way. He said when he selected the balls to be sent to the refs for approval, They were perfect, to him at least. Now, anybody can, after they've been approved by the ref, anybody could deflate some air out of them. I mean, come on, 11 out of the 12 balls were 2 pounds of pressure, low.
Right, and this is the problem that I have with it. You know, it's the Patriots always go that one extra step, and then they go, everybody does it. Okay, but you know what? That's why there's a limit there. But you guys always go that extra step over it. And I firmly believe Tom Brady when he says, I had nothing to do with it. And I firmly believe Bill Belichick when he says, I had no idea. Because years ago, Belichick and Brady both realized that they were the kind of people that will do things like that. And they won't hire a ball boy unless he can pass the let
2 pounds of pressure out of the air in less than 5 seconds, or out of the ball in less than 5 seconds test. Right? Wink, wink. And they never have to tell him to do it, just like Belichick never has to tell the groundskeeper to leave the tarp off when it's snowing and the Broncos are coming to town. He never has to tell them because they know. Wink, wink.
Man, I saw Mark Brunell. He was like, he flat out called Brady a liar on TV. He said he's a liar. And they did this thing where they handed them balls with different air. And the two quarterbacks, Brunell and the other one, I can't remember who it was. They were with Trey Wingo. And right. And they knew immediately. They put the ball in their hand and go, that's a deflated one. And then they got the one there. That's the full one. They knew it.
Sure.
They knew it by just squeezing the ball. They knew immediately. And I'm sorry, you know, Brady may not have had anything to do with deflating the balls, but you can't tell me he didn't know it. You can't.
Right. See, you get a ball boy in training camp, and you bring him over to the side and say, look, here's what I want you to do. You don't tell him this is the way I like the ball. You just say, here's what I want you to do. And you give him 50 balls, and you tell him to let 2 pounds of paraffin. This is what I want you to do. And he'll get the message. And then you never have to tell him. And you can always say, I didn't tell anybody to do that.
Honestly, if there hadn't been for Spygate, then I'm not sure that many people would care about this. Because let's face it, they kicked the Colts' ass.
Oh, hell yeah. There's no way, unless you can tell me that somehow that it affected the ability for LeGarrette Blount to happen.
I know, right.
I mean, gleefully run over them like nothing, man.
Right.
He looked like he was having so much fun.
But, I mean, I've heard players from the Colts going, look, man, them balls had nothing to do with it. They kicked our ass. You know, so they're not whining about it. Coach Belichick, he denied any wrongdoing. He told reporters, I have no explanation for what happened. I've told you everything I know. In my entire coaching career, I have never talked to any player or staff member about football air pressure. The balls are supposed to be approved by the league and officials during the pregame, and we play with what's out there.
All right. Let me tell you something there, Bobby.
Oh, hey, Bob Kraft.
Let me tell you something, Timmy. This is all talking Tommy's balls. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's silly. I mean, why would you need to know if Bill knew about how heavy Tom's balls were? I'll tell you why. It's all the media. It's all their fault, Timmy.
All the media. Well, here's Bill Belichick talking about how he has bad balls.
Let me just say that my balls are as bad as they can be. Wet, sticky, cold, slippery. And
I'll agree.
That's the way it is. I think we all know that quarterbacks, kickers, specialists, balls, they're a lot more sensitive. Tom's balls are something that he can talk about in much better detail than I could possibly provide.
My goodness, play some more. Oh, my God. That was ironic. Jeez, Bill. I didn't know you had the side business.
That's the way it is.
Oh.
Hey, Timmy. It's NBC trying to push their homosexual their fag stuff all over you.
My balls are as bad as they can be.
That I probably would agree.
Hey, why are you talking about my balls?
Tom's balls are a lot more sensitive.
Okay.
That's right. Why are they asking Bill about Tom's balls?
Well,
I can tell you this here, Jimmy. Bill's straight. I mean, he'll definitely fuck another guy's wife. But it's always a woman.
Oh, and what do you fuck her with, Bill?
Wet, sticky, cold, slippery balls.
They sound like fish.
I know.
You just described a trout that came out of a pond. Or a stream. I'm sure your grandmother will write me up.
No, goddamn, you can't fly fish in a pond. Let me tell you, Jimmy, it's that goddamn NBC and their liberal agenda. Why else are they going to have Chris Collinsworth do the game if it's not to attract the homos?
Well, anyway, here's the thing. Is anybody really surprised by any of this?
Of course not. Look, when you want to stand up in front of this media for 15 years and give them absolutely nothing ever, then when they have a chance to get you, you better believe it. You better believe it. They love it.
All right, something we haven't done for quite a while is take a field trip.
Let's go on a Bang Cartoon field trip.
Time for a field trip.
Let's go on a Bang Cartoon field trip.
And now a field trip.
All right, and this has nothing to do with the game of football, but it does have to do with balls.
That's true.
Okay, you need to go to YouTube. For those of you driving, you know, just, yeah, stick with us here.
You'll see it when you get home.
All right, so go to YouTube and search three words, ball boy hit. Ball boy hit. And the first thing you should see is ball kid hit in the balls, Australian Open 2015. And you're going to want to click on that. And then, of course, you're going to have to sit through the stupid commercial. God, man.
Oh, yeah, you got to sit through the commercial.
Damn, YouTube.
However, it gives us a chance to say that this is your official 2015 Bang Radio.
I don't know about you. I didn't get a commercial here.
Oh, no?
No. Look at that.
Oh, well, then we'll have to give the official Bang Radio Hour tennis update for 2015 at some other time.
At least I didn't get... Go ahead. I saw one of the big dogs fell. Was it Federer?
Yeah, he fell in the... I don't know what round it was. I don't really watch this kind of shit. I might watch the final, but yeah, Federer got knocked out by a really low seed.
Yeah.
Some guy that rarely... You know, I mean, he's a schmuck. Of course...
He's a schmuck.
I have a story about Federer. Federer's been ducking me for 4 years, but I ain't going to get into it right now.
Listen to this. Just because he's not answering your Twitter challenge.
That's right. I know he saw it.
A lot of people see your tweets. I know it's funny. What's her name on NFL Network? You're always
Aditi Kinkabwala.
Aditi, yeah, you're always trying to get her to say Johnny Bench.
Yeah, Johnny Bench, but she won't.
I know, but yeah, you know, it's funny. Every time we're watching NFL Network and Aditi comes on, I say, "There's John's girlfriend," to my wife.
I haven't tweeted as much as I used to. I was tweeting all the way up until the middle part of the year, and then I got busy as shit. And sorry.
Anyway, yeah, let's do this right here. Here we go. Now I'm ready to watch.
Here we go.
Okay, so you see the ball get hit, and you see the kid bend. Now you get the replay.
Whack!
122 mile an hour tennis ball right into the dude's nuts. He's on his knees. Now he's on his knees. If you can't see this, the tennis players are coming over to see if he's doing all right.
Holy shit.
There's my favorite part. It's like a football player who's injured on the field. They finally get him up, and they start walking him back to the locker room, and the whole place starts applauding. Like, yay, he's up, and he's walking.
What a brave little boy there. Got hit right in the dome. There you go. Somebody check the pressure in his ball.
Bang Cartoon Field Trip.
Field Trip.
Bang Cartoon Field Trip.
Field Trip.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
One of the things I don't like watching about the Australian Open is because you get these announcers sometimes because my wife will watch it on Tennis Network, and they're like from New Zealand, and there you see the first serve, is it the boy or the testicles? And it's like, God damn it, open your fucking mouth while you talk.
Well, one thing that everybody wants to watch is football. I got these TV ratings, man. This is insane. Well, you know, we had the week started on the ratings week starts on a Monday, and of course we had my Buckeyes whipping Oregon to win the first ever college football playoff championship.
Yeah, hey, do you happen to hear anybody talking to us anymore about the SEC?
Nope.
Sorry, shut up. Sincerely, the Big Ten.
We here in Columbus on our morning show, Loper and Randy in the Morning on the Blitz, we have started a petition online that bans Mark May from the state of Ohio.
That's not a bad idea.
No. He can't say anything. They had him on, he live down there, and every single time, John, it was hilarious. Whenever anybody else would talk, everybody was listening. But when he started talking, they would start yelling. You couldn't hear anything he said. He eventually had to just not say anything. It was great. It's
usually the best idea he should have anyways, to just shut the hell up. And besides, that means more talking for Mr. Puppet over there next week.
Right. So that game, that championship game, had 33.4 million viewers. And then, of course, we had the conference championships the following Sunday. These are the top three shows of the week, obviously. Number two was the AFC championship, Colts-Patriots, 42.1 million viewers. And then the NFC championship, which was actually on first, which kind of surprised me that it had higher numbers, 49.8 million viewers.
You know, the last time that many people tuned in to watch Deflated Balls was when Geraldo Rivera opened up Al Capone's vault.
Right.
And that was a really old reference that's probably not going to fly.
I watched it. I was a kid. I watched it, and it was just, it's 2 hours of my life I can never, ever get back.
You could have been masturbating.
I know. Exactly. All right. We didn't bring this up because we, you know, it's been 2 weeks since we were on, since my Cowboys lost.
Right.
You know, and there's, of course, I don't hear those conspiracy theorists anymore, John, after, you know, after that Detroit Cowboys playoff game and all the conspiracy. Oh, the NFL just wants the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. They want to keep winning, get TV ratings. Obviously, the TV ratings are just fine without the Cowboys. That's not a problem. But, you know, I didn't cry about it. You know, I talked to you about it. I wasn't going to cry. I was like, well, that's the way it goes. You know, I'm sure Cowboys fans felt a lot like Lions fans felt.
To be honest, the Buckeyes lessened the blow.
Oh my God, yes, that made it much better.
And we did just run right over that. And I did want to say that it was nice to see an old school style beating by an old school style football team playing old school style football against the young up and coming fucking chrome colored super duper fly all over the place, run a play every 6 seconds, score 100 points a week fucking team. They took that team's first opening punch and then said, you know what? Fuck you. And they got in on him and hit him in the ribs again and again and again and again. And it was fun to watch, even though I hate the Buckeyes. Yay, Big Ten.
Yep, it was, man. It was awesome. And I tell you what, if you look at those last three games, you look at the Big Ten championship, the playoff game, and the championship game, and you look, I don't remember ever seeing a running back perform like that three games in a row in games that were that big. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott ran for 220, 230, and 246 and 8 touchdowns over those three games. Unbelievable. And he's back next year along with Cardale Jones. Of course, you know, Cardale was great and everybody talked about him. But when you got a running back running for 220, 230, 246, it makes your job a hell of a lot easier.
I saw that he had in the championship game, I think I was... The statistic was he had something like 171 yards before contact.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, holes.
Before contact.
They were opening holes.
171 yards.
I could have run through those holes, man.
Right. Now, see, there's probably some clown thinking that meant, that's ridiculous. The football field's only 100 yards long. Right. But no. 171 total yards out of how many did he have in that game?
246.
246, so 75 yards were after contact, and the rest, I mean, 171 yards before getting hit. These offensive linemen just shot up my draft notice board.
Emmitt Smith did that a lot, you know? He didn't get hit till he was past the line.
Sorry. So, okay, Tom wants to talk about the Cowboys.
No, I don't. Well, actually, we are talking about the Cowboys. I want to get your opinion on that catch that was then taken back and called not a catch.
Okay. We've got 10 years worth of podcasts that anybody that wants to could go back over. I'm sure my son, the show historian, is going to tell me exactly what shows I said this in. But I hate what they've done to the reception rules more than any of it. It's confusing. None of it makes sense. It's never the same thing twice. And it is so subjective, it's ridiculous. These guys, these old stupid guys that are so afraid and so filled with rules that they can't make a logical decision on the fly because there's too many frickin' options for them. They cannot determine whether or not a guy whose hand is bigger than the ball. He can't possibly have control of that with one hand. I couldn't do it. Shit. Dude, I hate what they've done. That was a catch. It was a catch, and he's down at the 1 yard line.
Well, I know it started, they call it the Calvin Johnson rule, that you have to maintain possession all the way to the ground. And I understand that. I completely get it. Especially if you're going up for a catch and you come down with the ball and you come all the way to the ground and the ball bounces out of your hands. I get what they're trying to do. But at the same time, they also all the time talk about it, to make it a catch, you have to make a football move.
And this is the problem.
When you've got the ball in your hand and you're reaching for the goal line because you're trying to score, I call that possession. I do.
Yes.
And I know I'm a Cowboys fan. That's why I wanted to hear your opinion. As a Redskins fan, if you're telling me, you, in all the years you've been watching football, and you're a Redskins fan, and you're telling me that was a catch, then I know I'm not crazy.
It is a catch. And look, I'll go you even one further. there are times that you can actually have possession when the ball isn't even in your hand. Okay?
Right.
You're going to tell me that a basketball player doesn't have possession of the ball, even though he can bounce that son of a bitch and flip it around between his hands so fast that you want, is all of a sudden when the running back shifts hands, is the ball no longer in possession if he flips it a little bit? Ridiculous. Of course it's in possession. The key is control. Did Bryant have control of the ball? Yeah. Did he have 2 feet down and make a move towards the end zone? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. Football move. You know what's a football move, Tom? Dropping a pass.
It's a football move.
It is. It's a fucking football move. Hey, I ran a football pattern. I ran a back pattern over to here. That's a bunch of football moves. I made a juke here and a juke there. A football move after the ball fell out of my hands? Yeah. I pretended to pull a flag out of my pants. I'm trying to get that guy in trouble over there. It's so subjective, man. I hate that there are so many subjective rules. What do I always say, dude? It's a simple freaking game, right?
Yeah.
It's a simple game.
Yeah.
If anybody else was playing that game, other than the fact that these lawyers that wrote the rule books or have, excuse me, added to the rule books, if they never got involved, that's a play. We were talking about this earlier. You know what I always think of when all this shit comes up? Which Super Bowl was it? Which one of the ones was the Cowboys that lost to the Steelers? There was two of them in there. But the one
in the
where
70s,
Golden
Richards
lays out flat.
Oh,
catches a
dude,
touchdown pass.
No way that's a touchdown today. Golden Richards against the Steelers, there is no way that he gets that touchdown in today's game.
No way at all.
No way.
That ball comes out of his hands the second he hits the ground. He lays it there.
Right.
And he does a somersault. Jumps up and shoots at it like he's a cowboy. Nowadays, they'd know better. They just turn around and walk back to the huddle. There's no way that's a catch.
Well, let me tell you what Terry Hendricks says. Okay, this guy, Terry Hendricks, right. He's in Colorado. Very passionate Dallas Cowboys fan. He is suing. He is suing the NFL for $88 billion. That's a B, but as in boy, billion. $88 billion. Of course, you know where the 88 comes from. It's Des Bryant's number. And he's suing the NFL over this controversial replay reversal. And he names NFL Vice President of Officiating Dean Blandino, referee Gene Steratore, and Commissioner Roger Goodell, obviously. You know, those are the people he names by name and the NFL as a whole. His lawsuit is written. He wrote it in handwritten. Okay.
I saw it. Yeah.
He filed his lawsuit on Wednesday.
Could you imagine having to be the clerk that had to read it?
Oh, my God. He asked for this $88 billion. He says, for but not limited to negligence, breach of fiduciary duty, and also reckless disregard. And he called the reversal a fraud and a gross negligence that caused true injury to the Dallas Cowboys. He believes that they would have been in position to secure a win and advance to the NFC Championship. And, the funny thing about this Terry Hendricks is his place of residence. He is an inmate at the Fremont Correctional Facility in Cannon City, Colorado.
Hey, but that's on the nicer side of the prison, though.
Right. He states that he appears as counsel for Des Bryant, all Dallas Cowboys fans, and all people in or from the sovereign Republic of Texas.
Goddamn right. That's my lawyer over there. Right there. The one in the orange jumpsuit.
And the suit seeks permission to move before court within 35 days.
I could hear that phone call now.
Hey, Dino, how you doing? Yeah, I know. We had a fun time on the bus. What? You want me to make a couple calls and get this boy to stop making you in a lawsuit? Hang on. I'll tell you what. You fix them reception rules. We'll talk.
Right.
You want to go out on Jerry Ship 1? We're cruising in the Gulf, you know.
All right. Give me a score.
A score?
Super Bowl.
Oh, for the Super Bowl? Boy, that's something I haven't even thought about is the score. Because I don't know who's going to win. I really don't. Dude, this is so freaking... I don't like that people are saying that, you know what, most football fans aren't even going to tune in. Then most football fans know nothing about football. Let's look at it objectively. If Seattle wins... Okay, if they shut down the Patriots and they win, they'll have won back-to-back Super Bowls, which is a pretty rare feat in itself, and they will have beaten Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl back-to-back. That puts them right in the conversation of greatest, man. all.
Yeah, and that will be three straight Super Bowl losses for the Patriots.
Right, and if the Patriots win, there will obviously be some sort of freaking controversy that we'll all get to laugh about for the next right. 6 months.
Do you know that Vegas was given odds on Belichick being suspended for the Super Bowl?
Oh, really?
Yeah, like that is never going to happen.
Hell no. Somebody will end up floating in the freaking New York Harbor if that happens.
Yeah, they were really long odds. I mean, if it happened, you could win a lot of money.
Suspend him. Look, him and Tom might be playing around rubbing each other's balls, but you shouldn't suspend the guy for that.
Ah, Ballzilla. I love it. I love it. So the balls are going to be such a focus, and we get NBC, so we're going to get Chris Collinsworth talking about balls,
and Al Michaels,
and we'll get Bob Costas talking about balls. Let me tell you, Tom, of the texture of the ball. I spent a good portion of the week discussing Tom Brady and his balls. I was there when his balls were inspected by the officiating crew. That's probably where Johnny Weir's going to be.
I thought this was going to be. I thought this was going to be for a hernia. What's going on? I thought he was going to have to turn his head and cough. This isn't anything I expect.
I can tell you right now, man, I am officially looking forward to that almost as much as the game is to find Johnny Weir covering the Super Bowl. That's going to be a bummer.
Right.
All right, let me hit the Facebook page here before we run.
So you got no prediction.
Oh, yeah, I do. I'm going to go ahead and say... Seahawks 27, Patriots 26. There will be a huge controversy. I don't know what it is, but there's going to be a lot of talk.
27-26. Wow.
Yep. Bam. Right on the top.
I think Seattle's going to smack them.
Smack them, smack them?
Yep. I think Seattle's going to smack them, win by a couple of touchdowns.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, hey, man, I'm always looking at the defense, man, and I think their defense is way better than New England's defense. Colts had no defense. I mean, Colts were one of the worst run defenses in the league, and LeGarrette Blount just took advantage of that and ran all over them.
Oh, dude, but you know what? The ball was halfway deflated, so he couldn't fumble.
That's what it was.
Right, and if he'd have had gold shoes, then it all would have been a mess. All right, let's see. Chris Thomas says, hey, how hopeful are you and Tom about your respective teams in 2015? Tom, you go first.
Oh, I'm very hopeful. I'm very hopeful. I know they're not going to let Dez Bryant go anywhere. They get Sean Lee back. Hopefully he'll be able to play, comes back from the injury. The team outside of that is relatively healthy as long as, Romo's back holds up again. I don't know if they're going to re-sign DeMarco Murray or not. I know there is talk about him going after Ndamukong Suh. I think as long as they keep, Dez will be franchise tagged. Jerry already said that. He's not going to let Dez Bryant go. There's no way he's getting away. Now, whether they can sign Murray and Ndamukong Suh, I don't know. But if they make that happen and that, and Sean Lee's back healthy along with Durant and Bruce Carter and all these guys, and guys get hurt every year. You don't know who's going to get hurt, but I don't know why they wouldn't be as good next year.
He is an analyst, and he analyzes football and makes comments.
Right.
My team is going to suck. I sincerely believe we are looking at a top two pick.
Oh, really?
Not the top pick in 2006. Dude, we just – oh, my God. Here's what happens. All right, we make a nice move. We get a good GM. All right? We make a nice move. We bring in Bill Callahan. Okay? Then our defensive coordinator, we have an opportunity to bring in Vic Fangio from San Francisco, and he wants to bring in his defensive backs coach, and he wants us to get rid of Raheem Morris, who, if you have watched any Redskins games this year, you would realize that our fucking defensive backs are like blind children walking around in Hansel and Gretel's forest. They have no idea where to go or what to do. So fine. Junk his ass, bring in a quality defensive coordinator. But no, we decide that no, we're going to keep him. And instead of bringing in Vic Fangio, who immediately goes off and signs with the Bears, we bring in the guy who was the defensive coordinator of the 0-16 Detroit frickin' Lions, who gave up almost 500 points. And then the very next year after they were 0-16, they got worse. Then he got fired. And today, now they're letting somebody else, I think Atlanta, interview Raheem Morris, which is like, okay, you let the qualified guy walks so you could bring in this complete freaking buffoon. As usual, none of it makes any sense. So we will be picking top one or two.
Wow, man.
2016.
You kind of like the Cleveland Browns these days.
We're worse than the Cleveland Browns, dude. We're going to set the Potomac on fire, baby.
Okay. Now, you know, the Browns offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan, he split. He did not want to. He said it was a mess there. He didn't want to be there anymore. So they had to replace him with another offensive coordinator. Okay. So who do they bring in? Who do the Cleveland? Let's get ourselves a good offensive coordinator. Let's see. Where should we look? Let's look in Oakland. And let's get this quarterback coach from Oakland, DeFilippo. All right. First off, his last name is DeFilippo. He's never been a coordinator. He was the quarterback coach for the Oakland Raiders, where quarterbacks go to die. And I know. Carr was pretty good for a rookie this year, but
dude, who does his makeup? That's what I want.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, here comes DeFilippo is going to save the offense in Cleveland. Oh, the Browns fans have to be so excited. They asked him about Johnny Manziel, and he said, you know what? I don't know if our starting quarterback's even in the building. If he is, great. If he's not, that's great, too. That's what he said.
That's the first right move that he's made so far, man. I mean, mine as well. Every new coach gets to bring in their own quarterback, right? And I mean every new coach. Strength and conditioning coach comes in. Hey, I got a quarterback for you.
Right.
Assistant water fountain coach. Hey. Let me tell you about a quarterback. All right, Jason Watson says that the Niners coach looks like a palooka.
Okay.
He does.
Yep.
Oh, what a mess that is. I do believe that we have watched them commit suicide. Let's see. Ben Boyce wants us to call Kraft. He's a total drunk. I'm sure that was fun. Jimmy Greer wants us to call Edna. That was fun. We got to call Roger Goodell, who's got to be hiding underneath his desk. Dude, he doesn't hide. He comes out guns a
blast. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't give a shit what anybody thinks other than the 32 NFL owners.
Let me tell you something. We're going to find those Patriot bastards. I'm going to take away the Chevis Regal cabinet that I gave Bob Kraft for his birthday. And from here on out, every time they make a move, they're going to have to call me first. Right. Let's see. Christopher Lavelle wants to know if there's an NFL sponsored air pressure gauge, the official air pressure gauge of the NFL. That's pretty good.
All right. Very good.
And Rich Burton puts up a picture from a Hunt Valley Auto Body free air pressure check for Patriots fans.
That's very good.
All right, y'all. That was fun.
Yeah, we will definitely be back after the Super Bowl, and we'll have all of that coverage and a lot more. So make sure you're here for that, and we'll do it again next time.
Later.
Visit BangCartoon.com for a complete archive of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour as well as Bang Cartoons.
BangCartoon.com. Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still, yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm the mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater. Your rings are a lie. You back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
Okay, Mr. Smith, tell me what happened.
Well, I just sat down when pow.
Pow?
Pow, right in the mouth.
And can you describe the assailants?
There were three of them.
And how are they dressed?
With rosemary garnish and a red wine jus.
Jus?
Jus.
Well, it's like a gravy, is it? Any potatoes at the scene?
Oh, yes. Mashed with garlic.
That's a serious assault.
There was no salt.
Lamb hits you in the chops. More knockout recipes at simplylamb.co.uk.